chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I am thrilled to have James Barnett on the show today. James is the president of Dayspring. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. Well, James, welcome to the Something Extra podcast.
Well, it's great to be here. I'm just thrilled for the privilege to come and join this time and to be together.
I am too. And I just always want our listeners to understand, you never know when encounters, how they're going to manifest themselves coming down the road. Always, if you can, you know, make sure that you take those meetings. And so I want to give a shout out to CEO Forum, because if it had not been for CEO Forum, you and I may not have met. And so I know you're grateful for that organization, and so am I. So big shout out to those guys. But James is the president of Dayspring, which is a subsidiary of Hallmark Cards. They're headquartered in Siloam Springs, Arkansas. And he's the author of Blue Skies, which we're going to spend some time on later. He's married to Marilyn. He's got 3 kids, right? Is it Nick, Jordan, and Abby? Is that correct?
It is. Nick, Jordan, and Abby. And I've got those 5 grandkids. That's what's really important.
Yeah. Oh, such a special relationship there. But, you know, before we get into Dayspring more, because we got a lot to talk about there, I want to talk a little bit about how you grew up. I know that you grew up in a small town. You were the youngest of 7.
That's correct.
You talk about your mom and dad. You said they were salt of the earth parents.
Yes, well, we were just good small town folks that we grew up, and just wonderful parents, wonderful siblings. And my dad was a pastor and a school teacher. And my mom was a homemaker taking care of 7 kids. But also, it seems like we had 2 or 3 others living with us at any given time. But we were always helping others. So that was something my parents taught me, to really give to others and help others all the time.
Yeah, that's so rich. But here's something else you and I have in common. But by the age of 7, you were trying to figure out ways to earn money. And, you know, this is really going to come in later, because you kind of have an entrepreneurial spirit and obviously a leader. But James, I founded my first little business when I was 7. I had a little flower business. So, you know, we were both trying to make money when we were 7 years old.
We had food and shelter, but if we wanted anything, we had to earn the money. And so my mom had some soap products called Best Line products. And so I was going door to door with that product, trying to get some ladies to buy that. And I did. I did pretty good. I had my own business. The time I was 8, I was hiring my friends to get out there and get to work.
That's so funny. I love that. But what I'd love for you to talk about a little bit is your Uncle Irvy. So at age 11, you went to your Uncle Irvy. He had a donut shop or Dairyette or something like that, right? And you talk a lot about your Uncle Irvy, and he really did teach you the reward of honest work.
Uncle Irvy was the oldest male in his family and did not have the privilege to go even to past, you know, a few grades of school. But he opened a Dairyette, and it's called Barnett's Dairyette, and it was the most popular place in town, always 30 cars there. When I was young, I needed to earn some money, and when I was 11, I started going up there and would hang around, and I'd always want a milkshake and some fries and a drink, but he would always have us do work first. He'd always have to go out and pick up things and clean the parking lots. And then when we got back in, he'd always have a burger and fries and a milkshake sitting there. He always taught us the value of work, and he taught us, he had such a spirit of love and care. And one of his favorite words was whippy. He would always say whippy. They were always so excited, and they were always encouraging. And so, yeah, that was really where I learned a lot of my work ethic, was really, you know, hanging around my dad and my Uncle Irvy, and they were really close as brothers. And so it's really a great time that we had growing up there and here in Salem Springs.
My goodness. So grateful for those people.
And such a generous, you know, he didn't have a lot, but he gave what he had, and he was always looking for things to help others. And I remember that as a young man, just his generous spirit was just amazing to me. I thought, wow, I want to have that spirit of giving and caring and participating in what I call what has God up to, you know, and really a neat thing to learn and grow.
Well, let's get into DaySpring a little bit, because some of our listeners may not know about DaySpring. So we'll talk a little bit about the origins and the history. But, you know, you guys have, what, a 350,000 square foot campus in Salem Springs. I mean, you guys are one of the largest, if not the largest, Christian distributor of cards and products and things like that in the country. So
we are.
DaySpring, I know, started in 1971, and it just started with two pastors, two cups of coffee, and one life-altering question.
That question was, if we had 10 years left to live, what would we do with the rest of our lives? And this was a 28 and a 36-year-old, so fairly young to ask those type of life questions. And these were both pastors of one of them had grown up in Oklahoma and one in Iowa, and they had gone to school at Pasadena Christian College in Pasadena, California, and had become pastors following that and were pastoring churches. And they met one afternoon and began to spend some time together. And that's when they asked that life-altering question over that cup of coffee and just said, you know, if we had 10 years left to live, what would we do with the rest of our lives? And we would do what we could in our generation to make Christ known. So that was 1963. And they stepped out and did printed materials and printed tracts and really struggled to just make ends meet. One spouse was a nurse and one was a school teacher. And so that's how they sort of put food on the table, you could say. But in 1971, they met two other gentlemen, Roy Lesson and Russ Flint, and had the idea of a greeting card as a way to share the love of Jesus. That launched them. They made a few cards and they put them in some Christian stores at that time. And, you know, let's say the rest is history. But they moved to Arkansas in late 79. That's a whole story, because they were had never thought about Arkansas, but through a friend, and they were needing to buy some property to expand the business. And my dad and I met them shortly after that period of time, and started working with them in 1981 when I was in college. And I've been here now for 40 years. And it's been just an amazing God story to see, you know, what God has been doing through these years to be able to expand to be the largest, you know, social expression and Christian greeting card and gift company in the world. It's an amazing story of just God's faithfulness.
I mean, when you started there, I think you started as an intern.
That's right. I went and begged him for a job. I had just gotten married and I was needing to go to school and work. So I was that been an entrepreneur. I had a couple of other entrepreneurial jobs, but I convinced them to hire me to do a little marketing project for them in the summer, an internship, and kept asking them for a little bit more work. And when I finished graduating, I said, well, I think I can help you guys do some things too. They had about 20, 25 employees at that time. So not very many, but it's just been, you know, what a story of just, I joined them and thought it would be a few months job. And here I am 40 years later and been running the company for the last 27, 28 years. And it's just been an amazing story to see God do his work. And I've been glad to participate. It's fun. It's been a fun story.
Yeah, I think you said when you started there, they were like a million in sales and to your point, maybe 25 people. And look at how they've grown. But
that's,
you know,
right.
And then I'm thinking too, you had that entrepreneurial spirit, even as a young 7-year-old, right? But, you know, we talk about entrepreneurism. We also talk about being an entrepreneur. You've been an internal entrepreneur, because, you know, the Mary and Martha, I mean, you've expanded the products, all kinds of things. But in 1987, tell me what happened.
Well, you know, in 81, when I joined, interest rates were running about 21%. And the try to get some sales and try to get some products made, I came in and helped them grow the business from about $1.5 million to about $13 million in 5 years. And a partner came along, David C. Cook at the time, and was really working to expand ministry themselves, but they were financially strong. And so our founders really liked the idea that they were a ministry and a business. And so we were able to sell the business to them and then yet continue to participate. And that really helped us financially to be strong and grow the business over the next 12 years from $13 million to about $65 million in that next 12-year period. And then David C. Cook decided to put us up for sale at that point. And that's when Hallmark came to the table. And we talked to them about what the possibilities were, and they purchased the business in 1999. So we've been part of the Hallmark family now for 23 years. And it's been, again, another amazing story of, you know, what's changed in the marketplace. And yet, you know, while Christian retail has struggled over this last 15 or 20 years, obviously, we've been able to expand our reach out to 50,000 retailers. But the real entrepreneur piece of that is, you know, I've always wanted to work in a smaller company because I like making an impact and I can see change and do things and adapt and make those, you know, new things happen. And so we've, you know, moved from just greeting cards to our gifts. And then the last 5 years, we launched a publishing business, which is just going amazingly well.
Yes.
And we launched our e-commerce business in the early 2000s and then the Mary and Martha business in 2007, which is a home party business, Simply the Pampered Chef, those kind of models that have truly, you know, integrating your faith and your work together. Primarily women, that we call it women, helping women, you know, building women up in faith and business. And it's, we have 3,500 consultants now across the country, and it's growing, and the reach and the community that's taken place there is just, again, another amazing story. Now about 40% of our business is on the direct-to-consumer side of our business. And again, just having to reinvent ourselves over and over in order to continue to do the ministry that God has called us to do.
You know, obviously you can't just stay static, right? Because the world continues to change. And you guys have been very good about anticipating where the world is going, you know. And I want to go back because I think this is funny and I just chuckle about this. You were about 28 years old when the owner sold to David C. Cook.
Yes.
I remember reading about you. You went and you were really upset with them. You said, why did you sell? Why didn't you sell to me? Which obviously at 28 years old, you probably did not have the financial resources to buy. But I just chuckle when I think about that. Do you remember what they said to you?
Yes, I do. I went in there the very next day. They closed on the late night of December 31st and sort of the first on the 2nd of January when I came in. And I knew they were talking to some people, but I didn't know what was going to happen. And when they sold the business, I did. I came in and I was upset. I was like, why did you sell the business to someone? Why didn't you sell it to me? I said, you know, if you're going to sell it to somebody, then sell it to me. And Don just looked at me and he smiled and he said, you know, it really was never our business. It was God's business. And we have just been stewarding this business for the last 20 years. We're just going to hand it off to the next steward. And I remember that thinking, wow, you know, a 28-year-old, what does that all mean? You know, how do I think about that? And because I was this young, aggressive, go-get-em kind of person, right? I was going to take over the world. And you're right. I didn't have any money, but I had a lot of desire and a lot of motivation and was like trying to understand. But it took me many, many years before I began to understand what is our big objective is God just gives us assignments and stewardship responsibilities. And sometimes that's with our own businesses, with other businesses, other things in life that help us, you know, keep perspective because he owns all these things that we have. We just get to steward them.
Yeah. And I mean, that applies to everything, you know, all the gifts, the talents, the treasure, the resources, the relationships, all those things are gifts from him.
Yes, they are.
It's our job to steward in, you know, what he's given us. So I just thought that was so beautiful, but we've got lots more to talk about, but we do need to take a quick break and we'll be right back with James Barnett on the Something Extra podcast.
We at Technology Partners understand the difficulty to find work that is engaging, yields high pay, and facilitates a work-life balance. Over the past 25 years, we have enhanced the IT teams of over 244 client companies and placed more than 3,000 IT professionals with them on short-term or permanent basis. Our staff includes over 300 experienced IT professionals. So if you're looking to take the next step in your career, visit jobs.technologypartners.net, apply for a job, and one of our expert recruiters will be happy to connect with you.
So welcome back to the Something Extra podcast with James Barnett. So James, we've still got lots to talk about and we're going to try to cram it all in here. But, you know, there is something that I read that I just think is so beautiful and I think would be really good for our listeners to kind of hear. You said 25 years ago, you created three guiding principles. Your motivation is ministry. Your method is business. And your message is Jesus. 2021, you guys celebrated 50 years in business. You said the motivation hasn't changed, the message hasn't changed, but the methods have had to change, right? Because the world continues to change.
When I took over my role here as the leader in 1994, you know, I was this young business kid that, you know, I love Jesus, but I was a business guy. And the two fellows that had been the founders of the business and some others that, you know, were pastors. So when I took over, people began to ask, well, now are we going to move from 80% ministry and 20% business to 80% business and 20% ministry? I remember hearing that and I thought, well, Lord, no, nothing's really changing. Our heart is still ministry. And I got away one afternoon and was taking a walk and just praying about that. And the Lord just spoke to me as clearly as he ever has. And he said, no, our motivation is still ministry. We want to do what we can in our generation to make Christ known. That is our heart's cry. And our message is still Jesus. We just present Jesus in 6,000 different ways through the products and the tools and the resources we make. That doesn't change. But our method of business, you know, is changing constantly. And, you know, I always tell people we're not a church and we're not a parachurch organization. We're a business. We're a for-profit business. And to be able to adapt, I call business a full contact sport. I mean, it is tough to stay in business because people, you've got to make a product and a service that people want to get their wallet out and spend their money on, right? And really make that happen. And so how do we adapt our business model to really stay competitive and to be excellent? You know, our values at Dayspring are based on the acronym PRAISE. You know, we talk about prayer is at the foundation of what we do and respect of the individual, attitude of service and integrity and honesty, and then stewardship. And then we end with excellence. I call it the bookends around prayer and excellence. Is we believe that whatever you do, do with all of your heart. If we can be excellent in business, it gives us a platform with which to share Jesus in different ways and do that effectively. So that really, when I came back and shared that with my team and people across Dayspring, that really resonated. And at the time, I did not know that would become sort of the essence statement of what we've been about this last 27, 28 years. And that's been a really guiding principle to keep those stakes in the ground. That motivation and that message are still the same. Those never change. But with inside those stakes, then how do we stay competitive in the business world to serve consumers and to make a difference in the lives of people?
Oh, wow. I love that. See, that's a part I had not heard. The prayer and the excellence are your bookends. Well, I want you to tell our listeners a little bit, because I know Dayspring during COVID and with all of our first responders and our healthcare workers. I mean, truly, James, these guys are the heroes. You guys put your Dayspring artist creative skills to work on a Thursday afternoon, and you did all of these chalk drawings, 22 different unique chalk art messages on the walkways leading up to the hospital. And I just thought that was so beautiful.
You know, we were looking for ways because people work from home, and we were trying to find ways to gather people in an outdoor setting and do some things. And we thought, what ways can we serve our community just to be a blessing? And we thought, well, these hospital workers and doctors and nurses and different, you know, stages of where they're coming in and out, we thought, how can we encourage them? We can't go inside. And even some of the patients that were coming inside. And so our creative team came up with a plan to do chalk art on the sidewalks leading up to all the entrances. And so that when they came in, we could bless them with messages and art to really bring life-affirming messages to them. And it was just, it was an encouragement to us, and we believe it was an encouragement to our doctors and nurses and the healthcare workers that were there serving. And just as one way of many, we've done that in the community at the schools, we've done that in the community downtown and multiple places, and a way to reach out to that community through the creative efforts of our wonderful, wonderful team.
Yeah. Oh, so beautiful. I love that. You and I were just talking about a book that you and I both love called The Creator in You.
Yes.
You know, they're using the gifts that they've been given. They're stewarding those gifts, right, to bring light into, to bring life back in the world. You said something here that I just read today, as a matter of fact. During COVID, social distancing was required, but a greeting card or a message like that was the safest way to give someone a hug.
Yes, it was the safest way to give someone a hug. And it was a great way for us to come alongside. And also during that time, we worked with Hobby Lobby on National Encouragement Day during that September of 2020 to give away 1 million greeting cards through their stores to bless someone else, to give us be the safest way to give someone a hug. And so we gave 1 million greeting cards away through the 900 Hobby Lobby and Mardell stores over that period of time. And what a blessing. We got so many wonderful responses because we just wanted to do what we could. You know, everyone needs hope and encouragement. Everyone needs joy, the joy of the Lord. We all need that. And how do we provide that and do that? And a greeting card is a wonderful way to express that.
I love it. I'm going to camp out on that for a bit, but I want to move into Blue Sky. So now you're an author, James, you've done all this stuff. Now you're an author and it's called Blue Skies, How to Live an Extraordinary Expectation of What is Around the Corner. I have to ask you, number one, what was your motivation for writing the book?
You know, I'm getting a little bit older and a little bit more experienced. And I thought, well, what do I have to pass on to my kids and grandkids, to the next generation? Life is an adventure, and God gives us each experiences in that adventure. And I began to think about, you know, I love Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life, and I've always loved it because it's the best sales book of all time outside of the Bible, because it meets a need of every person. And so I think about everyone wants a purpose-driven life. And so I thought, what can I express that the Lord has used in my life to help me work through the issues I face, and how do I do that? What's that message everyone needs to hear? And I really, you know, think everyone needs perspective, right? Everyone needs a perspective, because in life, you have clouds, you have challenges, you have problems. But the reality is, God is always the same. He's always there. There's always blue skies. You just can't always see them. So I begin to think about, what are those ways that I can pass on to that high school graduate, a college graduate, a mom or a dad? Or, you know, when I was in my 30s, I was taking over the world and thought I was going to, you know, conquer the world. I didn't really understand, what does it mean to, you know, ask the right questions? So that really was my motivation, is what's that message? What's that nugget that I can pass on? And then that's where blue skies and the idea of the adventure God has given us to follow Him. It is an adventure. We don't get to know the whole story, right? It's part of the mystery of who God is, but He's always at work. Nothing surprises Him. There's nothing new to what God is up to. This creation, the Creator, God is always doing something new. He didn't do parables the same way. You know, He operates, He does things differently. The way He speaks, the way He talks. I just get excited about thinking about, what does it mean? I'm an optimist. I believe in, there's always going to be good things around the corner, but you have to be looking for them. And so that's really been a big piece of me writing this book, is just, hey, how do I keep people focused and myself focused on, you know, living an extraordinary life? Because most of us are just ordinary folks, right? We're just doing ordinary things. But when you align with what God is up to, He takes ordinary people and does extraordinary things. That gets me excited, and I just want to pass that on to this next generation.
You know, I was just saying to somebody earlier, I think it was Mother Teresa, James, that said, we're just a pen in the hands of God. The pen is not the cool thing. The pen is the instrument, right? But, you know, the pen doesn't write the story. There's a hand that writes the story, and that's really what you're talking about here, is how do we let go? How do we surrender to Him and ask the right questions? So like some of the things that you said, you know, that you were wrestling with, or God, what are you up to here? What are you going to do next? You know, and it's just staying in that posture.
People ask me a lot of times, how do you live with the extreme optimism that good things are going to happen? How do you stay in that mode? Because I tend to, you know, believe that God is always doing something new. And does that mean it's easy? No, I have had extreme issues in my life and my family's life and hardships and struggles. Everyone faces those. But how do you keep positive outlook? And I say, it's really a pretty simple prayer that I had to learn to pray about 20 years ago. And it goes like this. It says, you know, God, you have a plan today and it's not mine. You know, I've got things planned today, but you can move anything on my calendar. Help me to be watching and listening and then obey. And I find this prayer, you know, really took me to this, what I call if you really just want to keep it really simple, I like things simple because I can remember them.
Me too.
But, you know, in grade school, across from the Barnett's Dairyette, when I would walk to school, there was a guy with a guard sign, a stop sign, you know, and he'd walk out on the street and he would stop the traffic, right? this came to me when I was writing this book. He said, you know, really to follow God's plan, we have to do something really simple that we all probably learned in grade school. And that is to stop, look, and listen. And when I stop and ask the right questions, when I look in the right places, and when I listen to the right voices, then I have a chance to have what God's perspective is. You know, I spent first 20 years of my life asking, why God? Why God? Why does this happen? Why does that happen? Well, most of the time, God doesn't let us know that. Maybe a long time down the road, you can look back and say, oh, now I know. But I just found out that was the wrong question. I was asking the wrong question. The real question there is what? What is God doing? Because that gets my head up and I'm participating in what God is up to. And so I had to really stop and ask that right question and then look in the right places. We are all looking for satisfaction in life and achievement and title and things. And, you know, all those aren't bad, but they're really not fulfilling in the happiness side of life as far as just that internal happiness that we find only, you know, in Christ. And so this issue of, you know, looking in the right places and then listening to the right voices. We so often, especially the last 10 years, the noise in the system, right? The social media and everywhere we get noise is how do we listen to those right voices? How do we, and that takes discernment and the Holy Spirit, you know, speaking to us through us. And so how do we do that? And have to take time to really just stop, slow down, ask those right questions, right? Look in the right places and listen. And then we have to obey. You know, it's easy for me to get the rule book, but now I got to go do what God asked me to do, right? And I got to be obedient in that. And a lot of times without even knowing what that next step looks like, that prayer has really helped me focus on, it's not a big theological prayer. It's really a simple prayer.
Say the prayer one more time, James.
God, today you have a plan and it's not mine. I've got things planned today, but you can move anything on my calendar. Help me to be watching and listening and then obey.
That sums it up right there. There's not a lot more that we need to say.
In the book, Blue Skies, I try to take what I call 21 look agains, and I try to encourage you to look again to see God at work because life has a lot of stuff in it, right? A lot of things that happen. And so I try to give you that and to get you up to pause and look again at what God is up to. So I really believe it is a book that with a message that every person is trying to get that perspective.
Listeners, go get the book. We'll talk about how you can do that. But, you know, I was laughing because, you know, your leadership kind of came in, I think, when you were just like 9 years old and your dad termed you the navigator.
Yeah, that's right.
And basically let you navigate on a road trip. And you said, you know, oh, you know, you kind of got that little taste of leadership. But your family, you guys, love hiking national parks.
We do.
How many of those have you hiked now?
We've been at 44 of those national parks. I think there's 62 or three. They've added a few in the last few years. But when I was young, when I was 4 and 11, we took these one trip to the East Coast and one trip to the West Coast. And that impacted me so much as a kid that I said, I'm going to take my kids on that kind of thing someday. So from the time our kids were young until they graduated high school, we took about 14 different summers in a row and would take 2 weeks each summer and go to the national parks and hike 6 to 8 miles a day, it seemed like. Not every day, but we would hike to those. And those were really, it was in my 30s and 40s that I just began to discover God was doing something new at every park. There was nothing the same. It didn't matter what you looked at. And I remember I would drive around the next corner and see another mountaintop or something. And I would say, wow, kids, look at this. Wow, look at God. And one day my son said, Dad, my wower is just worn out. And I said, well, man, mine is not. I said, I just keep seeing new things and our quest to know God. And we're made in his image. And he has made us and he's created all things. And he's given us the opportunity to enjoy those. And so the backdrop of the book, the stories I tell, or I use those national park trips as a backdrop to make it entertaining. But again, it's really, that's the backdrop to say, look what God has done. Look what God is doing. Look who God really is. And it's just a great way to tell that story.
Well, what I love about you using this backdrop is you say there are not as many mountaintop experiences. I mean, there's not that many summits. Most of life is trekking up the hill.
I call that living in the meantime. Most of life is on the side of the hill. It's not in the valley or it's not on the mountaintop. It's on the side of the mountain.
Yeah.
How do you keep perspective in the meantime?
So good. Mm. James, this is something extra. What do you believe is the something extra that every leader needs?
I think every leader has to keep perspective. you know, there's so much noise and there's so many things happening. And I call the speed of the game has gotten so fast in business. The change in the culture and the environment and the voices, if you don't keep perspective, have the right people speaking into your life and really making sure that you're, again, stopping, looking, and listening, right, to the right things and asking those right questions. And you only get perspective when you can step back and really make sure you're grounded and be able to see what God sees, right? And we only do that when we have time and slow down enough to know Him, because He's always working. And our job is to be watching and listening and then obeying and joining Him in His work.
Yeah, for sure. But when we're running 200 miles an hour, James, and we don't take that time to sit and be still and be reflective and get that perspective, we're going to miss so much. And so I love that. That's a beautiful perspective, James. But tell our listeners, how can they find Blue Skies? What's coming up? Tell them how they can find Day Spring or Mary Martha or whatever you want to talk about here.
Blue Skies can be found at dayspring.com, amazon.com, christianbook.com, or wherever books are sold. Those have been out in the marketplace for the last about 6 weeks. So we're seeing some great results. We're really excited about that. And of course, Day Spring, you can find those greeting cards at 50,000 retailers across the country and where Hallmark is sold, where we are. And then Hobby Lobby carries our entire line, Mardell, other Christian stores that carry our products, and our publishing division, again, online and in stores. We're just amazing, the wonderful publishing materials we have today and the gifts. And then Mary Martha is marymartha.com. That's a wonderful way for women to integrate their faith and their work. And it's really community. I was just on the incentive trip with 50 women and their husbands and their families and down in Florida for 5 days. And we get together and people that love Jesus and love business, just like I do. So how do we integrate that in to our daily lives?
Yeah, so much good stuff. Well, I hope our listeners will go check all of that out. And James, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much. I know how busy you are. So thank you so much for making the time to be on the Something Extra podcast today.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa. It's just been a great privilege and a great joy. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.